I realized this morning, as I was just going over my notes, that I had forgotten to come up with a joke. You know, I always come with a joke. So finally, one came to me. So you ready?
Yes.
Everybody ready? Okay. What is this? The other half of this. And so I just said in the last one, ba-doom. Okay, well, I had to come up with a joke. I didn't say it would be a great one, but... So this is not a farewell message. I prefer to give you I'll give you an assignment to add to your direction. And I have gotten deeply moved by a TV series that just takes my breath away. Reverend Denise has become as addicted to it as I am. And it's called This Is Us. Okay, so raise your hand. How many of you are watching it? I haven't seen anything like it on television before. And if this is the direction of television, that means, my beloveds, that there is an energy moving now to get our attention in a way it hasn't before. Good. This is a powerful, powerful series. It's on ABC. If you haven't seen it, you can see it on demand, Hulu, lots of different places. It has a message for us. It is the story of a family. The couple met in very unusual ways, in really divine kind of divine intervention ways, got married, and after a while they decide to have children. And along the way of the pregnancy, she discovers, her name is Rebecca, that she's carrying triplets. Now, they're not wealthy. And they are happy about the event, but at the same time, there have to be a lot of things put into place. And what's so beautiful is that the way they held the faith and began to create the most amazing things to prepare the place for this family. And so along the way, then they had their three cribs and the three this and the three that. She goes into labor. She goes to the hospital and they discovered something is not right. And their regular doctor is not there. So this wise old doctor comes in. He takes over and tells him how many babies he's delivered and everything's going to be fine. And as he begins to deliver the babies, one is dead. At the same time, in another part of town, an African-American mother who is an addict is delivering a little black boy. And she dies. The father, who is still an addict, takes the child to a fire station. Ultimately, the fire station brings that baby to the same hospital. The mother is asleep. The father is standing at the window of the nursery looking at his two babies that are left. And right next to those two babies is the little black baby. And the wise old doctor that I believe, from all that he said, represented metaphysically God. And Denise agrees, right?
Yes.
Denise, yes.
Yes.
Yes. And those of you who are watching, do you agree that he's like a manifestation of God? Yeah. And he comes along just as the man is standing there looking in the nursery. And he just begins to talk. And from his conversation, the father begins to get the idea of adopting this little black baby as their third triplet. And he goes in to see his wife, and when she awakens, he has to give her the news that one of the babies died. And ultimately, through a lot of exchanges, comes the suggestion that they take this baby. As a matter of fact, I think she came to the nursery as well. But the thing that is so amazing is after they decide to adopt this baby and they begin to raise this child, they never see this child as different. They never see his color. That's our baby. That's all that's on their mind. And raising these three children to grow up, to be happy, to be fulfilled, to be successful, to be powerful, and to love. And the love they gave to these children was remarkable. And each child got the same love. Along the way, from birth, they were like this. But of course, they go into school. And their friends begin to make them aware of their differences. And so they begin to pull away and to begin to create their own thing. And sometimes little Randall, it's a little black baby, sometimes Randall was kind of left out. But then Kate, the sister, always seemed to be able to go into Randall's heart and to bring him back in. But the other brother, Kevin, was determined that maybe Randall was taking something from him that he wasn't getting. But the interesting thing is that when they became adults, when they began to grow into their wisdom, they came to the realization through many events that they needed each other, that they were family. No matter the color, they are family. And they began to stick together in the most amazing ways. And one of the things that really took my breath away was that Kevin, who was trying to make it on Broadway after a very successful TV sitcom career that he didn't feel proud of, even though he made a lot of money, he wanted to do something that he felt was significant. And so he began to work with some people and designed a Broadway show with another actress. And on opening night, with a very famous critic in the... Okay, God, we hear you. With a very famous critic in the audience, he receives a call. Just as the person on stage is about to say the lines from which he walks onto the stage, it's his brother Randall. You know, the little black baby? And he's saying, he's calling to congratulate him. He can't make it. He has some work that's come up. But Kevin knows there's something wrong. He knows. He feels it. He senses something is wrong. And he leaves the theater. And he goes to his brother's side. And he's in the middle of a panic attack. And he takes him in his arms. And he rocks him. To the detriment of his career, he didn't care, because this is us. This is my family. remember who I am. I'm a part of this family. And there's more that happens along the way, and Kevin gets another opportunity, but this was the one that it didn't matter times when they had separated from each other, when their father passed or whatever. It didn't matter because they came to the realization that the one thing they could count on was each other.
Yes.
This is us, my beloveds. This is us. This is our story. We can no longer look at the differences in people. We can no longer separate ourselves from each other by color. We are family. This is us. And there's a scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, that says, "For by Spirit are we all baptized, whether Jew or Gentile, whether in bondage or free, we are all made to drink into one Spirit." On your handout there, all the metaphysics is on there. But I just want to give you the overall understanding of what this scripture is saying, because this is our charge. This is our call to action. By Spirit, by one Spirit. Spirit is that divine essence that undergirds and supports the entire universe, from which all of us are created, from which everything evolved. And by that one power, that one presence, we are baptized. And why? Baptized means a cleansing of the mind, because you see, we were born knowing that we were one, that we were whole and perfect as God created it, and then there were many people that came along and helped us forget.
Come on now. Come on.
When I forget, will you remember?
Yes.
And so when they forgot in that series, they helped each other remember. This is us. And so by Spirit, we ultimately return to the realization that our minds are cleansed and removed from that outer focus, from the lack and limitation, from the perception of differences. And to draw us into the oneness. By one Spirit are we baptized, whether Jew or Gentile. In the Bible, the Jew represents divine ideas. It represents those who were continually practicing principles, spiritual principles. Gentile represents the external, the attachment to the external realm, to the differences, to the lack and limitation. And by Spirit are we made to drink into the one Spirit, the one presence. In other words, we are absorbed when we remember that this is us. We are absorbed into the one. And once we are absorbed into the one, we can no longer look at the color of one's skin, except maybe to say, that's a nice tan. But not to make it matter to us that that person has brown skin or yellow skin and is different from mine, and therefore I have no connection to that person. This is us, my beloved. We are one. For we are born of one spirit. The truth of our being is colorless, genderless. It is of one theology, and that theos, God. Theos is God. So we are all one in God. And the way that we practice it has no significance whatsoever. This is us. And so what I am wanting to offer you today is a charge. I charge you with some processes, some things to remember, things that you might do in order to stem the tide of the chaos that appears to be erupting in our world today. Because until we understand that this is us, it's going to continue. But we have the power to create heaven on earth. I don't think all the ancients would have kept saying that if there wasn't some truth to it. So I've asked Ted to support me as I offer these charges to you, if I can see them. And as I give you a charge, Ted is going to read just a bit from my new book, The Long Journey Home, because that's really what this book is about. So, the first charge is to shift your gaze from the differences that we see and to embrace and to focus on what makes us the same.
In discovering our relationship with God, which leads us to the understanding our connection to each other and to the planet itself, we arrive at a deeper realization of our responsibility as inhabitants and co-creators of our world and the world at large. When this realization occurs, we realize further that somehow, in some way, it is up to us to play a role in making this a better place. Our return to home and the love that awaited us there has opened the way for a deeper love to emerge from within us, and that love has opened the way for compassion.
I charge you to love all people, regardless of race, color, gender identification, religious beliefs, or political affiliations.
Duality shows up in every aspect of our lives. This system of opposites can either lock us into continuous struggle to overcome the challenges the opposites present, or support us in realizing the truth of our being. They can limit us to perpetual judgment or elevate us to a higher level of appreciation.
I charge you to listen to your heart and not the sound bites and not the live streams and not the talking heads and not the wild crazy posts on Facebook and the insane tweets.
There is always something playing out that we cannot see from our limited perspective. If we withhold our judgments and our emotional attachments as it unfolds, it will follow the path of the divine plan and manifest in the right and perfect manner for our highest good and the spiritual growth and evolution in consciousness constricted by the soul.
I charge you to remember that we are all one, regardless of what you see. We are all one. What I see is myself.
We must have the courage to open the door to the forbidden rooms within our unconscious level of mind to see what has been repressed and suppressed and be willing to embrace them as part of our wholeness. To be whole means accepting and loving even the uncool part of us. They may bring a balance to our lives that were previously missing.
I charge you to work for equality everywhere, even in the face of appearing inequities, to find a way to work to create equality.
In order to discover our place in the cosmos and our connection to others, we must take each day as if it were a piece of the jigsaw puzzle that makes up the big spiritual picture. As you go along, it will all make sense as the picture unfolds. As we witness the situations and circumstances taking place upon our planet, we must take a look at where we were contributing, co-creating, to the energy behind them. For example, if we are seeing violence and conflict all around us, it is essential that we keep watch for any thoughts, words, or emotions that carry the energy of conflict and make a shift to our hearts to generate love, peace, and compassion in their place.
I charge you to withdraw from what is to what is possible in the midst of our challenges and what is going on in our world.
If I created this, then I cannot be a victim and a creator at the same time. The moment I recognize my power to create and recreate my life, I am no longer a victim. Noticing and accepting my feelings and acknowledging that I am making judgments about the situation, even if I don't know what they are, prevents the self-defeating act of condemning myself for having these feelings and judgments, taking me another step away from victimhood and toward my power. Stating to the universe my willingness to see the situation as perfect, even if I can't at the moment, opens the way for perfection to reveal itself when the time is right.
I charge you to let go, to release the past, the old hurts, the unforgiveness, the lack, the limitation that brought pain, and to forgive. Because forgiveness is the gift you give yourself. Forgiveness is not for the other person. My beloveds, I bet, and it's happened to me, that if you go to someone who hurt you a long time ago and said, I just want you to know I forgive you for what you did, 9 times out of 10, they'll say, what are you talking about? You see, they've moved on. And you're still stuck in the same place. So the forgiveness is to free yourself from the bondage of carrying the old hurts around, because they've moved on and are no longer thinking about it. And you're living and living and living in it.
In radical forgiveness, we practice the process of being willing to see the perfection in every situation, regardless of how it is currently playing out. This means it is neither good nor bad. It just is. And we create a space for it to be what it is without criticism, condemnation, or judgment. When we withhold the energy of making it anything in particular, we allow it to continue its movement through our lives to fulfill the purpose for which it showed up. By giving it no energy, we allow it to unfold in divine order.
I charge you to actually be what you want to see in the world. To have it take on a reality for yourself first. Because in order to see it, we must be it.
We align with the one will by establishing a connection and maintaining an ongoing relationship with it. While we are made up of it and always one with it, we have been given free will by our own desire to know this presence and power intimately, that it is revealed to us. Through daily practice of prayer and meditation, by living in integrity with every other living thing, and by remembering that we are part and parcel of this presence, we begin to live under its guidance and direction. By recognizing that everything happens for a reason, happens not to us, but for us, we use life as a tool for conscious evolution.
Mm-hmm. And that is my charge to you. That is what I leave you with. Because we are on the critical threshold of a quantum shift in consciousness. And how we step across this threshold will make all the difference to us, to this ministry, to our community, our nation, and our world. So I've asked Ted to read something to bring it all together.
The Christ is the divine blueprint that was imprinted upon the genetic code of our souls that holds the plans for becoming the architects of the kingdom of heaven to be built upon the earth. It is the true nature of us that never left home and acts as the placeholder for the awakening that occurs when we remember who we are. The way of discovering the Christ is within, and the location is through the heart. The heart itself is God, and the key to awakening this greater self is love. By learning to love ourselves and others, we open the gateway for love to begin carrying out the divine blueprint for our lives and for our world.
To love, accept, appreciate, acknowledge, to remember, bring the members of the family back together. And if any group of people can do this, it is those who have heard the call to come to unity. For we were seeking a different kind of voice. We were seeking a different kind of path. one that brings us into a realization that we have the power to turn this ship around. We are the one that we have been waiting for. There's a great change in the air. I see it, I sense it, I smell it, I taste it. There's a change. We are on the threshold of a quantum shift in consciousness. And through these charges, we prepare ourselves to be able to cross over that threshold and to be what it is that we want to create and to embrace all people as one. Because as long as there is division, there is conflict, my beloveds. The only way to peace and harmony is to harmonize. Well, I'm not talking about like the singers. I'm talking about bringing our hearts together as one. Look for what makes us the same and watch this change begin to happen in a powerful way. Everything must change. Change is the one constant in life. Don't like what's going on? Wait a minute. It'll change. Everything is changing because it must. Must change. Nothing stays the same. Everyone must change. No one stays the same. Much too soon.
lights up the sky, and hummingbirds do fly. Rain comes from the clouds, and sun lights up the sky, and
in the midst of conflict, let us remember that this is us. In the midst of conflict, I remember this is us. Would you affirm that with me? In the midst of conflict, I remember this is us. Again, in the midst of conflict, I remember this is us. Let's strengthen it with one more time. In the midst of conflict, I remember this is us. And so it is.
Oh boy. Oh boy.